You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Today we dive into the Battle of Ohio. We'll break down the Cincinnati Bengals offense and defense and tell you all about this matchup on Sunday for the Browns and the Bengals. We will hear from Hugh Jackson live at 1:30. Jamie Meter will be live in studio with us at some point today. Jeff Hobson, the writer and editor for Bengals.com, will be with us. And we've got fantasy football questions. Week 7 of the fantasy football season is going. And you can use the hashtag AskTFC. And that is brought to you by FanDuel. Get all the sports richness you can get from football with FanDuel, ladies and gentlemen. Matt, here we are today. And let me ask you, Monfrere, what did you think last night about the Tribe?
Oh, it was amazing. And listening to really Big Show driving around and doing, you know, running some errands and so on and so forth. What was so cool that, you know, Riz kind of drove home. He talks about, spring training with his father and enjoying those moments. And I was 6 years old, you know, in 97 when they went to the World Series and so on and so forth. And for them to go and have these games be earlier and allow me to, you know, my son to watch, you know, the fifth through the ninth inning and dive in. And every time Lindor makes a play, or actually anytime anybody, you know, makes a play, he's like, is that Lindor again?
Frankie is a stud.
And, you know, it's just really exciting for me. And I think to be out in San Diego, and I've talked about it before, to celebrate the Cavs championship and the comeback over Golden State, and my son to be a part of that and know who the big three is and have him, name off the starting roster for the Cavs as an 8-year-old, like a lot of 8-year-olds. But it's very enjoyable, and it was very satisfying. And what I love is that you're not blowing people out in baseball, but I mean, a 3-0 win is a blowout in baseball.
Yeah.
And I just love the how routine Terry Francona has made this series look. And I think our bats have backed up the pitching. But I just love that we go starter, you know, through to almost the fifth, in some cases into the fifth. And, you know, in Kluber's case, sometimes, you know, into the sixth or seventh. Then you get that middle reliever. Then you know you're getting Andrew Miller in the seventh and the eighth inning to just mow down people.
He's unbelievable.
And then Cody.
MVP.
And then, right. MVP. And then just Cody Allen playing his role. And even a buddy of mine who's a listener of the show texted me. He's like, you know, going into the ninth, he's like, stick with Andrew Miller, or do you go to Cody Allen? And I'm just like, trust the process. Got to go to Cody Allen. And I just think it's a great thing, because if Andrew Miller's the ALCS MVP, what role is that man going to have in the World Series? And to know that the NLCS is tied at 2-2, that it's going to go at least 4 more days, meaning I think another game in LA tonight, an off day, and then another game, or it goes back to Chicago for at least one more, and that Andrew Miller can sit back and last night, the entire Indians organization and drank the champagne and did what they did to celebrate, and to be able to not have to do anything but just like stay loose and rest that arm and, you know, Bauer's finger to heal up, that we go into the World Series not in the ideal situation without Carrasco and Michael Brantley and all the what ifs. Going into these playoffs, but with the guys that have just won 2 consecutive series in a dominating fashion, ready to win a World Series and bring that trophy back to Cleveland.
Yeah, and they got 4 more games to go. Napoli wanted to go to Vegas, and party right after winning the ALCS, but they said, no, we'll do that after we win the title. Which
is that a surprise?
Which would be just like the Cavs stopped in Vegas on the way back from winning the title. But awesome.
If they clinch in L.A., it'll be the same
way. It'll be the exact same. It'll be amazing. It'll be great. So kudos, hats off to the Tribe. Congratulations. And, I mean, the rookie to go out there, Merritt, and can start ever and pitch that well, awesome.
And how about while I know we're doing Cleveland Browns Daily, and the Browns have been the butt of so many jokes for the last 16, 17 years, that a Cleveland-based team, after Batista's comments about shaking in your boots, another team besides a Cleveland-based team became the butt of the biggest joke. So they gave us the bullboard material, and we were able to, like, you know, throw up the finger at them and say, eat it, bro. You know what I mean? That's what you get for making stupid comments.
Eat it, bro.
Right.
Yes. Take some of that.
How's it taste?
How does it taste?
Good.
Tell me.
Watch us in the World Series, Batista.
Yeah, Joey Bats. And that's the end of his Toronto career, more than likely there. Some updates for you on the Browns today. We'll have head coach Hugh Jackson coming up at 1:30. He will be live with us today. And also the other update I wanted to give you, Terrell Pryor did not practice today. Joe Haden did not practice today either. That is not, obviously, it's not a huge point of concern, but knowing that Hugh Jackson yesterday said that they will need to practice before being able to play on Sunday makes tomorrow very important. And Friday's typically, you know,
Friday is the day.
Kind of a walkthrough day.
Friday is the day. And that's Friday's not so much a walkthrough. It's an 80% day is what it is. And Friday is a combination of Wednesday, first and second down, offense, defense, and probably punt return on special teams. Thursday today is third down, red zone emphasis, maybe coming out if you're, you know, backed up offensively or you have them backed up defensively.
Situations.
And then kickoff return is predominantly on Thursday. And I'm just going based on, you know, places that I've been, and that was three of them that all did it the same way. And then Friday is the full gamut, you know, and that's why you're not out there 2.5 hours, but it's 2 hours. You get some of the game plans offensively and defensively that Coach Ray Horton and Coach Hugh Jackson, they want to see again and remaster. Because they have to dwindle it down. The number of plays that they get in practice offensively and defensively is probably cut from maybe 45 or 60 down to 35. So it's, what do I need to see again, and what do I need to refine to have it ready for Sunday? And the mental reps that Joe Haden being a pro, Terrell Pryor being a pro and having done this for a while, are guys that can take the mental reps in some cases and be able to go practice on Friday, get out there, get limber, get loose, open things up just enough to know that I'm healthy, and coaches can create enough faith in them playing. So Friday, by all intents and purposes, for every team out there, like, again, Joe Flacco is not practicing today.
Right.
But Joe Flacco practicing tomorrow, Joe Flacco is going to start on Sunday. Joe Flacco not practicing tomorrow, taking any snaps, probably not going to play on Sunday. That is a league-wide kind of a rule by coaches.
Did you have coaches that would allow somebody to play? Because I'd imagine Gates sometimes probably didn't practice.
No.
But
I don't believe so. No.
Had to practice.
And especially in our case, you know, Saturday's a travel day. You know, Saturday's like your full-on walkthrough. You don't even put a helmet on. You're in T-shirt and shorts. You go out there, and it's just an accelerated walkthrough. So you're going at about a 60% tempo, jogging through. There's no impacts. There's no nothing. It is the full-on refinement where, you know, Friday is like what you would imagine would be a dress rehearsal.
Yep.
Every play that you're going to carry in, we'd probably go through, you know, our first 15 in Hugh Jackson's mind. You know, what Ray Horton wants to lead out with some of our lead blitzes, lead coverages, lead fronts against what the Bengals are doing. Chris Tabor is going to want guys to get comfortable if anything has changed from 1 week to the next. Or maybe in some cases we've gone back to what we did last year against the Bengals. He wants to see that again. That's what Friday means. And that's why Friday, a Joe Haden or a Terrell Pryor type of player can jump in, pick up right where they left off, and check the box, as I always say, for Coach Jackson and Coach Horton, that these guys are going to be up and active on Sunday.
Yes, and hopefully they will be there. Also today, not practicing Corey Coleman, but was running by himself. And Joe Thomas with a knee injury. That's more than the veteran day off. It's 2 weeks in a row now that he hasn't practiced on Thursday. But again, he is expected to play. We don't know about Hayden and Pryor at this point.
Yeah, the thing to be said for me, as I said, I want to say either Tuesday, probably Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday, was I want to see Corey Coleman not only running out there, I want to see him catching some footballs. And that could be thrown from a trainer, which is at probably 30% the velocity that Cody Kessler, Josh McCown, or RG3 are going to throw it at. But it's I want to see something impacting his hand, that impact, you know, on his hand. And that's the and his ability to manage his pain from those catches. And if there is no pain, then it's like then you start catching balls, you know, maybe from Cody Kessler for, at a, you know, as a warm-up, a lob, you know, which is going to be 60% of Cody Kessler's full arm strength.
He should, though, be able to come back in good physical condition, right? Because he should be able to do all the running, run his routes full speed. He's just not going to be catching the ball.
Correct. And as we always state, guys have to play themselves back into shape. We know going back, Corey Coleman came in for rookie camp and the first day, you know, was a little sluggish and it wasn't what Hugh Jackson expected. But when he came in for training camp, that's why everyone in and around the building in the dog pound was so excited for Corey Coleman, because the first 9 days of training camp, he was practicing here like he was a 1,000-yard receiver and a number one receiver.
Like a beast.
So I wouldn't be surprised that if Corey Coleman, when cleared, almost takes every rep at practice to open up his lungs, to get ready for what Sunday is, to open up his legs and have them ready, you know, to run down the field, not get the football or get the football and jog back to the huddle and be able to do it again, because that's the life as a wide receiver in the NFL.
Yes, it is. Ah, yes, the playmakers of the National Football League. But, yeah, he's going to have to probably work himself back out there, but he will bring so much to this offense once he is, you know, able to come back and play. It sounds like it will not be this week for Corey Coleman. And I think the thing that we need to start thinking about is if Terrell Pryor doesn't practice tomorrow, where does this team manufacture its offense? And I think you're going to see a lot of Duke Johnson catching the football out of the backfield. James White last week had 8 catches and 2 touchdowns as a receiver out of the backfield against this Cincinnati defense.
Yeah, not only the ability for Duke Johnson to facilitate yards or catches out of the backfield, but as I kind of said going into last week's football game, how can we, you know, break tendencies by lining up in one thing, shifting or motioning to another thing to kind of window dress where Duke Johnson's going to end up? Because when Duke Johnson lines up, say, in the backfield and motions to empty, that's an easy check for a defense. Everybody yep. bumps, or if you're in man-to-man, the inside linebacker tracks him out, and you still like that matchup. But when you line up Duke wide, and then you shift to another formation, and then Duke motions out one way or another, it's like you're creating 3 levels of thinking for a defense, and that's where you find, you know, the weak spots of a defense. And I know Hugh Jackson in his studies, that's what he dives into. You don't just do things to do things in the NFL, especially offensively. Sometimes, you know, motioning a guy from one side to the other, there's a reason behind everything. And the creativity that we've always talked about with Hugh Jackson is one thing that I love, because I know firsthand what it would do to me as a linebacker. You know, when you've got to shift. Because, and even furthermore, as you study and you watch film and you get, you know, trees and trees worth of paperwork on tendencies about, you know, and I consistently talk about, because the one I remember most is when Tony Gonzalez lines up in this spot, it's 100% pass. But when they line up in one thing, shift to another, and then motion to Tony Gonzalez across to end up in that spot. But it's like, and then I still got to remember my job.
Yeah.
You know, who am I covering? You know, and it might not be Tony Gonzalez. It might be the running back, but it's like that bell doesn't go off in my head so clearly if you just line up in that original formation and then you run the pass. You window dress it to get there. So, as I said, you get to those, you just confuse the defense. That's what we need to do with Duke Johnson if Terrell Pryor's not going to be in.
Well, yeah, and I think, and we'll get into the matchup soon. When we come back, we'll talk about the Browns offense against this Bengals defense. But I think if you can get Duke Johnson in one-on-ones with Ray Malugo or Carlos Dansby or Vontaze Burfict.
Either one of them.
Those are wins.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, so many people talked, I think we talked about it yesterday, maybe off-air, about, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, who is one of the best in the business and a future Hall of Famer. I'm not going to knock that.
No question.
But he has gotten bigger, you know, almost every year. Bigger and bigger. I just don't want to imagine, like, Ben how much is Ben going to be able to do, you know, kind of laid up for the next 3 weeks? So Ben's going to come back a little bit out of shape, as we talked about with Corey Coleman. And that's the one thing I look, when I look at these linebackers for the Bengals, it's like, I know Vontaze Burfict is a playmaker and a dirty player, but it's like, these guys aren't the greatest athletes in the world. They're just very good in the scheme, and that front four allows them to make a ton of plays.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
So how do we use that as an advantage? And Duke Johnson is one way we do so.
Yes, we certainly are going to need to get that Duke Johnson on those backers. Gary Barnage, I think, is going to have to play a big role in this game. Andrew Hawkins out of the slot, if he's able to be in the slot, but it's possible that he won't be. We're going to get into those matchups when we come back. Plus, we'll take your phone calls for the Battle of Ohio. You want to talk Tribe as well? 216-578-0850. Don't forget to tweet at Nathan Zagura or at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskTFC. We'll get your fantasy football questions answered later in this show. Week 7 of the fantasy season is here. We'll be back with more CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. The Packers, by the way, have placed running back Eddie Lacy on injured reserve. He's having surgery on his ankle, and that will likely end his season, could end his career with the Green Bay Packers, as he's a free agent at the end of this season. Something to keep an eye on there for the Packers. Here we are on this Thursday, Week 7. Tonight at 7 o'clock at West Park Station. Come out and see us for the Hugh Jackson Show. John Greco will be in attendance as well, coming out, and we'll be there. Myself, Ken Carman, at 7 o'clock, all along the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and at West Park Station. We'll be there live tonight. So come out and see us. All right, let's get into this team right now. Let's start with the Bengals defense, Matt Wilhelm. And this is a very good defense that starts up front. You've got arguably one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL in Geno Atkins. And on the defensive line at the ends, you've got Michael Johnson and Carlos Dunlap, who has been an absolute force this year.
Yeah, it's impressive. And as I said, Ray Maluga, Vontaze Burfict, Carlos Dansby, They play very well behind such a very good front. And that's the one thing that concerns me. And I think in past history, just diving into the, you know, the Browns, Bengals, what has affected us offensively? And I think it's, of course, Geno Atkins in the middle. Pico, he just does his job. Every once in a while, he'll swat down a pass. He'll penetrate and make a tackle for a loss, and that's when, you know, when you obviously really notice the big hair, you know, on the guy on the inside. But besides that, what scares me most is these guys on the edge. You know, and I know we've got Joe Thomas, and I know we've got Austin Pastor, but Austin Pastor, going back to the Dolphins game, struggled with speed off the edge, and in this case, it's going to be speed and physicality. And then it allows these linebackers, because they're so good up front, to have a little bit more freedom to make those plays. And when I dive into a successful 4-3 defenses, why I give them the nod, especially over young quarterbacks, is they don't need to rush any more guys than Dunlap and Johnson and Pico and Atkins. That four-man, you know, pressure, because of how great these guys are, allow seven to be in pass coverage. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for Cody Kessler this week, is to diagnose where these guys are. Are there any tells in their defensive backfield that'll give us a clue on what coverage he expects? And then Cody, you know, and Hugh Jackson can take advantage of those coverages. But that means the windows in the zone coverages are going to be a little bit tighter because they're dropping seven. If they're playing some type of man-to-man, that means they're going to play some man-free, maybe some steel coverage, dropping a guy down. A little bit of robber. Rover coverage is what we used to call it. Or the one that sometimes for a lot of young quarterback is very difficult is two-man. That means man underneath and two half safeties in behind, two deep safeties in behind. So you can't take your shot because you'll be throwing into double coverage in most cases. And underneath, you've got to have your playmakers winning in one-on-one situations. And the one individual that we know has done that consistently thus far this season is Terrell Pryor, and he's in question, not practicing yesterday or today.
That's the key. And who can win in one-on-ones if there is no Terrell Pryor? And we look at this front. You talked about Michael Johnson on one side. Johnson already has 1.5 sacks, a pass defense, 16 tackles on the season. On the other side, the big man is Carlos Dunlap. And so this guy is having a phenomenal season. He's actually the top-graded defensive end in all of by Pro Football Focus and all of football right now. On the season so far, Dunlop already has 4.5 sacks on the season. He's got 53 career sacks, 5 passes defense, 2 forced fumbles, and he has 22 tackles on the line. He has been an absolute beast. Atkins in the middle already on the year has 2.5 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, 14 tackles on the year. Last year he had 11 sacks to lead all interior defensive linemen. That front is excellent, and they've also been getting very good play out of a ninth-year guy, Pat Sims, who's come in, and he's got 1.5 sacks himself from that defensive tackle. He comes in the pass-rushing situations. Pekka pretty much playing in the run situations for this defense. And I'll tell you, that front is as good as any that you have seen around the National Football League. We will continue our look at this Bengals team after we go to the podium, because the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, is on his way there right now, and will address the media following today's practice, probably provide some updates. But again, we can already confirm for you, Joe Hayden and Terrell Pryor have not practiced today. Here is Hugh Jackson.
What is that? In that box. The box you got right there. Oh my, no, that. That tea? Oh, is it yours? Oh my gosh. Okay. I see. Yeah, I see. Now, what is that? Yeah, no, it was tea. I was right. Okay. I just had, I seen a funny looking box sitting up there. I don't know if it was something going to jump out of it or what. Okay. All right. How are we doing today? Okay. What you guys have? Oh, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do, because we'll do more with them, you know, because I need to know for sure. You know, they have a chance. I need to know without question that we're not going to dress them and get them out there and then they can't play. So if we have to do more, we'll do more.
Yesterday when you were talking about Cody, you said he's done things that you haven't even asked other rookies to do. Can you say what are those types of things he's done and why has he had to do them when maybe other rookies you've had haven't?
Well, I think we've asked him to make more plays, you know, with the ball. You know, I think some of the other teams I was on, you know, during that time, I think the team was structured different. So there's other things that the quarterback didn't need to do, you know, to give the team opportunity to win. So for us to have a chance, he's got to make plays. He's got to put us in position and score the ball as often as he can, you know. So that's a lot of pressure for a young guy. But he's handled it, you know, well thus far.
So can that fast forward a learning curve?
Oh, yeah. No, it can't. It can't. It can also hurt the learning curve, too. So it kind of goes both ways. It all depends on the situation you're in at that time.
This topic came up last week, but now that the Indians are in the World Series, update what goes through the mind of a Cleveland sports team leader on another of the teams.
Oh, I.
Big series.
Yeah, I'm very excited for their opportunity. Like I said, Coach Francola deserves it. Has done a great job with that team, you know. But as I look at it from afar, I want to be in that spot too. You know, the basketball team's done it. The baseball team's doing it. Have a great opportunity.
All right. We're having some technical difficulties here with Hugh Jackson's presser. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up with the head coach of your Cleveland Browns. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Don't forget to tune in to News Channel 5 every Sunday at 11 to get the latest behind-the-scenes news and information about your Browns. Also, the best game preview in town. It's Browns Countdown at 11 o'clock with myself, Andy Baskin, Matt Wilhelm, Hanford Dixon. We'll have the latest from Cincinnati as well. That's 11 a.m. every Sunday, News Channel 5 for Browns Countdown, best Browns preview show in town. All right, let's go back to Hugh Jackson now as he addresses the media following today's practice.
Today, you know, so we're in our stage, you know. I told you I learned that word. We're in our stage, too, so we got to get there. But that's the goal, you know, is to win a championship. So
Super Bowl, and that's what
absolutely.
You want to do. But how hard is it to throw that out there when you know, you're just starting your program?
Well, that's not hard. No, I mean, you got to have aspirations and goals. You got to know what you want, what the vision is, and where you're trying to go, or you're never going to get anywhere. So, I think you have to talk about those things, you know. And I'm not going to ever back off of that. That's what I'm here for. We're going to get there. I didn't say it was going to happen this year, you know. I said we have a lot of work to do, and I keep saying that too. So. I get it. You know, that's what we all are chasing, you know, and obviously, like I said, the basketball team's done it. The baseball team has an opportunity to do it, and we're going to do it here at some point. I feel very comfortable and confident in that.
How many of those soft tissue injuries for Terrell and for Joe, the fact that they play positions where they have to full out sprint and, you know, they're not practicing all week, so you don't know if they're going to be able to do that. How challenging is that to go into the game not knowing if they're going to be able to do that?
It's very challenging if I didn't know that for sure. But as I said, they're going to run. I mean, I'm going to have them run. If they can't run, they won't be able to play, you know. So there's no question what you said is very true. If you have guys that play those positions, they're running all the time and breaking and starting and restopping, you know, and all that. So, you know, we have to know for sure. I will not dress a guy who I think can't contribute to our football team in some positive capacity.
Hugh, has Jonathan Cooper been able to make any inroads in play time?
Yes, he has. I mean, he's getting better. I think he's learning our system, learning, you know, how we do things. And, you know, he's done some good things out there. So, you know, we'll see where he is, you know, as we get through the week. You know, again, he's learning a game plan and starting to really get it in his system and know how we want things done and how we see it. So, you know, eventually he's going to get a chance to get out there too.
How's he coming along, and is he further down the line and getting closer to maybe at least backing up Cody?
Oh, I think he's close. I think he's close to having a chance. You know, again, as you guys know, nothing's changed for this week for him, but I think he's closer to playing than not playing.
Is Joe Thomas the same as last
week? Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Get that a lot from the players here too. Is there someone in your past that gave you advice on how to do that, or someone that maybe shared something with you that made you become the way you are?
You know, there's a couple people I point to. One would be Marvin Lewis. You know, Marvin's always told me to be very honest with players and tell them the truth. You know, don't sugarcoat it. You gotta let them know. And probably the guy that helped, you know, get me into this profession at this level, the first job I ever had was with Marty Schottenheimer. And I think you guys all know how Marty was, and Marty was one of the best at what he did, and he just didn't take any BS and just called it like it is, you know. And I've been around a lot of good guys that way, you know, from Marvin to Mike Zimmer to Marty, that have instilled that in me. I think if you're honest and fair with players, and they know you come from a good place and you want the best for them, I think they're going to give you a good day's work, you know, and they're going to work their tails off for you. So, and I don't think as a coach I can get too high, too low. I think steady's the way, you know, because I think that breeds confidence within the players, and they know what they're going to get every day from me. So that's not going to change.
All right, that's Hugh Jackson. We'll finish up that press conference in a little bit, but we are going to go right now in studio with Browns defensive lineman Jamie Meter, who joins us here in the Dog Bowl. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. How's it going?
It's going well. How about for you?
It's a little little cold today out there.
It is.
Yeah, it was definitely – it was crazy this morning when I was coming in. It was a deluge out there, but hopefully it's lightened up a little bit for you. I want to talk about this defense, especially the front. It seems like you guys are having a lot of success against the run after what was a rough 2015 season. What's the biggest difference that you see?
I mean, I just think we're, you know, we're working together a lot better from last year to this year, and we're getting up, feel a lot more, and just a lot more sound in our responsibilities.
And you're playing next to Danny Shelton quite a bit, who's having a tremendous second season. What have you seen in his development?
I mean, a lot. I think with the weight loss, he looks, I mean, like a completely different player. He's doing awesome right now.
And just talk about Ray Horton's system. We knew, you know, Ray Horton coming back to Cleveland, that it was, you know, the Dick LeBeau 3-4 scheme. And yet you guys have found yourself, from a personnel standpoint, that you guys are playing a heck of a lot more 4-3 defense than you are 3-4.
I mean, you know, we just figured out, you know, Ray is putting us in the best positions. And, you know, that 4-3 right now is making, you know, we're helping against the run a lot better.
What's the biggest challenge going against this Bengals team? They run it a lot with Jeremy Hill, Giovanni Bernard, but also they throw it. What's the biggest challenge going against them?
I think with Bernard, just because he's a scat back, and, you know, you got to be a lot more wary about him catching the ball more than running it. And Jeremy, you know, he's more of a downhill guy, so got to pay attention to Gio a lot.
And talk about the additions to the defensive line room, Emmanuel Ogba, Carl Nassib. They've been asked to play a lot of football, you know, at this very young state in their NFL career. And just talk about their personalities first and foremost, and the impact that they have each and every week in the football game.
I mean, I think we're all goofballs in that room, but I mean, they're doing great. I mean, they've been asked to step up, and I think they've done that. And, you know, I know they're young, but they've definitely matured a lot over this training camp.
You seem very subdued. What do you think of Carl Nassib's psych-up ritual that he does to get himself ready to go?
He's pretty funny. I mean, he just sits there. I mean, he's quiet. Then out of nowhere, it's just a loud burst of energy. And you're just like, what is going on?
Stephen Pye has come in there and really is the veteran in that room now. What has he kind of brought to the room, and has his experience been helpful to you guys?
I mean, oh, completely. I mean, just having five or six seasons in, and he can just tell us what he sees and how he's played against this kind of offense, this kind of player. I mean, he's just been a lot of help.
And you talked earlier about you guys getting more penetration this year. Do you think that, you know, that is something from the scheme, that you guys are being asked to go more into the backfield than last year? And is that something that you like doing? Because it seems like it, since you've been back there quite a bit.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a part of the scheme, and it just, I mean, it helps.
I'll state the obvious. You guys, you know, sit at 0-6, and I'm sure there's you know, there's words out there that have been said. You guys probably speaking the same thing, that you could very well be, you know, have two wins under your belt at certain points or another. But just talk about, for you being, you know, a second-year player and a young player, the mentality of this team led by Hugh Jackson to just, like, continue to grind and continue to put in the work each and every week, so that the product on Sunday puts you in a position to just make a couple plays that it could have easily gone the other way.
Oh, yeah. Just with our whole new attitude. We're not looking back at these losses anymore. We're preparing each week to win. And I mean, it's as simple as that.
What kind of has Hugh Jackson brought from a leadership standpoint to this organization?
I mean, it just goes back to his attitude. I mean, he hates losing. So, I mean, he hates losing more than he likes winning. So, I mean, we all have to have that mentality.
Do you feel that things are different, even though the record is what it is right now?
Oh, completely. 100%. I mean, we work so much harder, and I mean, the record's going to turn around.
Yeah, what are some, besides like the work, what feels different to the push? Because you get the sense that it just is a more positive overall environment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just the energy. I mean, you come into work and you know you're going to work in the right direction.
Yeah, with you. Yeah. And how's it going with your position coaches as well?
Oh, great. I mean, I think we're all doing a lot better than we have been in the past. So, I mean, it's obviously working off.
Yeah, and your beard seems to be in Pro Bowl form right now.
Oh, yeah, it's getting there. A few more weeks. So.
A few more weeks?
A few more months.
Okay, okay. You know that there's a flag football team here that is, I think their team name is like the Jamie Meaders Beard, and they have like your beard as the logo on their shirt. You didn't know that?
That's news to me. That's
really?
Sweet.
That's all
good.
With all
the long,
guys.
Scraggly ones, too.
Yeah, the big beard there. Who's somebody that you admire? Whose beard, you know, do you hope to emulate someday? Do you have like a beard, like, you know, pantheon that you're hoping to get into?
I mean, honestly, I'd have to go with my brother. My brother, I mean, he's just a normal guy, but man, that beard comes down to his past his chest. It's awesome.
It's awesome. ZZ Top.
Yeah, ZZ Top. Yeah. So it's something like in the family, this love of beards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen my dad without a beard in my lifetime.
Okay.
My brother, ever since he's been able to grow one, it's whatever he wants.
Okay.
Whatever length he wants.
Did any of the Patriots guys be like, you totally should be playing for the Patriots? I mean, you look like you should be on a Boston team.
No, I didn't hear any of that.
Well, Jamie, we certainly appreciate the time. It's good to see you having success once again here in the National Football League with the Browns, and good luck on Sunday, and hopefully you'll get that first win to validate all the work and all the improvement and progress you guys have shown.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
All right. And hopefully Jamie Major's beard will get a win this week in their flag football league.
That's right. I hope so. Good luck, guys.
Good luck. All right, we'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Jamie Meter was our guest right there in studio. Now let's go back to the podium and hear from the Browns head coach Hugh Jackson on a lot of topics, including Hollywood Higgins.
When we ask you about specific hits or injuries, your response is that's football.
Uh-huh.
Do you think the game's any more violent now than it was 10, 20 years ago?
I think it's different, you know, but it's still blocking, tackling, you know, and all the fundamental things that football is made up of. You know, I think there's more rules that regulate things a lot more than it was 25, 30 years ago. But it's a tough sport. It's a violent sport, and it's meant to be played that way, you know, all within the rules of the game. So to answer your question, do I think we protect the players more? Yeah, for good reasons. You know, because long-term health is very important, but at the same time, you know, it's a rough sport, and a lot of things can happen. You know, and God forbid anything happens seriously to anybody. But we know when we sign up, the players do, and us as coaches, when we see it and deal with it, it's part of the game.
Coach, what impresses you most about two guys on that
D-line,
Atkins and
Dunlop? He had to ask me about them, huh? Geno Atkins is a tremendous football player. You know, obviously he's the glue for all they do up front. He's strong, he's quick, he's tenacious. He's a spark plug. You know, he's not a tall guy, but he's a big guy. You know, and he likes to play the game. And I think of Carlos. You know, Carlos has a long wingspan, and he's very athletic, and he's tough. And you know, those guys, they know how to play. You know, they were raised right in this profession with the coaches that they've been around there. You know, obviously with Marvin and Mike Zimmer and now Paul Gunther. And so they come from a good background, and they know how to play.
Maybe what have you seen out of Ricardo as he's got more playing time? I know he's made some plays, but he's also dropped some balls.
Well, I think you just said it. We're trying to – he's working at being more consistent. But obviously the talent's there, the ability's there. I think he recognizes and understands that every catch matters, you know, how crucial it could be to a drive or opportunity to win a game, you know. So that's a experience within itself for a young player, because normally, like you say, you don't get in those situations very often to be in that tough situation. So he is he's growing. He's had a great week. He's very hard on himself too. You know, he's one of those guys, a perfectionist. He wants to do everything right, and we like that about him. But he's still another young emerging player. You know, that's got to continue to grow and get better every week.
How do you think the other two young receivers, Peyton and Rashard, are coming along?
Good. I mean, obviously we'll see more of Rashard this week. I've been dying to do that, and we need to do that better. And Jordan obviously had an attempt at a heck of a catch last week. So, I mean, those young guys, you know, I've always said as the year goes along, we're gonna need them to make plays too. You know, just too long of a season, too many things happen. But they're getting their opportunities now, so they got to go make the most of them.
How about Derek Kindred? You know, gave up a couple of plays last week. What kind of week has he had, and how do you expect him to bounce back from that?
He's had a good week of practice, but he's got to get better. You know, we can't let the ball go over our heads. You know, it's that's happening, you know, at an alarming rate for me. You know, that's one thing our defense is built on. You know, you can't let the ball just go traveling way over everybody else's head. So we got to improve that way. You know, we got to do that fast because this is a team that will throw it over your head if you don't stay back there.
Good.
Thank you.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson talking about one of the things that you and I have been talking about, the Browns play action, giving up those bombs week in and week out. They can't do that or they will see A.J. Green running behind them time and time again. All right, Matt, let's wrap up our first hour here. Let's go back and take a look at this defense. We talked about the defensive line, Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap having monster seasons as well up front. The linebacking core is good. It's a good one. Carlos Dansby, the former Brown there, he is the team's leading tackler right now with 37 on the seasons. But I think, you know, we saw him last year. You can get to him in coverage a little bit. And he's not really, for a strong side linebacker, he's not the most physical at the point of attack type of a linebacker. And I think the Browns are going to have to try to run at Dansby and isolate him with Duke Johnson.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I think the isolation is the key thing for me. And then I wouldn't be surprised, and even though, as I mentioned earlier when we dove into this, Carlos Dunlap and Michael Johnson on the ends are such a stronghold, I wouldn't be surprised that at some point or another, if we do try to stress the edge of their defense, but that means, you know, force Maluga, force Burfict, you know, to play on the edge, to play in space, where I believe, I'll even say Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, significantly better athletes, faster and just more elusive out in space. That's where you want to win. If we can create those situations somehow, some way, as I mentioned earlier, with the window dressing shifts and motions, or just flat out game planning, you know, and having our guy, our better athlete, beat their athlete, and have Cody Kessler understand that matchup and deliver the football accurately.
Agreed, and they're going to have to attack Carlos Dansby. Vontaze Burfict back in his last three games, 21 tackles. He's got a sack as well. And then there's Ray Maulaga, who's this middle linebacker for that team. He's the one that looks lost in coverage to me all the time. He's the guy that I want the Browns to find a way to get Gary Barnidge on him. You need to get that Mike backer and take advantage of him in the passing game.
Sure, and there's sometimes...
And how do you do that?
There's sometimes where I just don't... I'm not in favor of a certain player or another, but it's a surprise to me that Maluga has been with the Bengals as long as they've been. He has been, because I think the defense as a whole has covered up how ineffective I think that he's been he's been just a guy in that defense. And a lot of that has to do with the offensive line, with Geno Atkins and the role that any linebacker can play behind such a dominant force. The same can be said for Jarrell Casey. We saw that with Avery Williamson. We see that with you know, Fletcher Cox in Philadelphia. When you have those defenders up front who are so good, you don't have to have or break the bank on linebackers that need to make plays as consistently as they have. And we've seen, you know, a little of that get away in Carolina with Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. That defensive line beaten, battered up, and all of a sudden those linebackers become very ordinary when they're not covered up making plays. So, yeah, Maluga is the guy that I would attack. And in most cases, Maluga, for that along the same lines, is the guy that comes off the field in nickel situations. Carlos Dansby and Vontaze Burfict stay on the field. Dansby, most athletic linebacker, but as we all know, very good in pass coverage, but susceptible. He was with the Browns. I'm sure not a lot has changed in a year, but the best athlete amongst that group. If you're going to attack anybody, I think you might attack the over-aggressiveness and the physicality of Burfict with an athlete like Duke Johnson.
I will say, though, Dansby this year has been targeted 22 times by opposing quarterbacks. He's given up 20 catches for 251 yards and two touchdowns. Quarterbacks have a rating of 144.5 when targeting Dansby this year. So I think those linebackers, the Browns' goal is going to have to be to get these linebackers in coverage. You're right about Maluga. He is the lowest graded player on the defense for the Cincinnati Bengals right now at -9.2. He is struggling this season, and I totally agree with you. He never seems to have fit into me with that defense and what they're doing. When you look at inside linebackers in the National Football League, Maluga right now ranks 54th out of 58 eligible inside backers this year in terms of Pro Football Focus grade. So to me, Obviously, that's the weakness of this team. Now, in the secondary, they've got a new free safety as they let Reggie Nelson go in the offseason. They've got a new free safety, but they have the same strong safety, George Iloka, who is definitely one of the very best in the league. Their new free safety this year is Sean Williams. He's a fourth-year pro, second on the team.
Second-leading tackler, yeah.
With 34. He had 9 against the Patriots last week. He's good, but Iloka has been one of the better back-end defenders
and
in
consistent.
The league so far.
And consistent amongst, you know, that defensive backfield. Drake Kirkpatrick, Adam Jones at corners, which we'll touch upon here. And what jumps out at me when I look at the Cincinnati Bengals statistically, you said Williams has 34, and I think Dansby only has 36 tackles, correct?
Yep.
Am I right?
37.
Okay, I was way off.
You're way off.
Right. But my point is, and I think, which is why, yes, they've been underperforming in some cases this season, but why they've been so dominant is, it's you have so many good players, or I'll say good/great players on defense, that you don't necessarily need one guy to make all the plays. And that's why you see the distribution, you know, on this defensive tackles. They don't have a guy that's, you know, has 50 tackles. They don't have one guy that has all the sacks. They get production from everybody. You don't necessarily know who's going to lead us in tackles and who's going to. So if you're going to block Michael Johnson, Dunlap has the sacks. If you're going to protect on the edge, Atkins penetrates the middle. You know, and if they're firing up front, your linebackers are skating free, and that's when Dansby has a double-digit day. So that's the one thing that concerns me about us is they don't have, you know, the guys, you know, the Brian Arakpo or the Jarrell Casey, you know, the two guys that you need to stop to be able to be successful on offense. You just have to be – you have to have everyone collectively on offense, all 11, to be ready to win your one-on-one matchup. You know, if I'm Austin Pastore, I got to block Michael Johnson or Carlos Dunlap. If I'm Joe Thomas, okay? If we're the interior, if I'm Cam Irving, and believe me, I wouldn't be surprised that if Pico may not be playing a little bit of three technique and they might want to get Geno Atkins working on Cam Irving with some of the penetration that they've seen along our offensive line. And that's not taking anything away from Pico, but he's not at the level or the athlete or the producer that Geno Atkins is along that offensive line.
No question, and I think the big matchups, you hit on it. Carlos Dunlap lines up at the left defensive end, which means he's going against Austin Pastore.
Right.
You're going to need to chip on
speed
that side.
Speed and physicality is what hurt him against Cameron Wake.
And he is one of the best in the league when he doesn't get there, jumping up and knocking passes down. He's 6'7", so he's a huge man, Carlos Dunlap. And then you're right, Atkins in the middle against the trio of Bailey, yeah, Cam Irving, and John Greco. Those are going to be key matchups. On the back end, 4 passes defense to each for Drake Kirkpatrick and Adam Jones. Those guys are good corners, although Adam Jones has had a little bit of a rough season so far in 2016. But Josh Shaw is their young player, is a fourth-year guy. He's playing at their starting nickel over Darquez Dennard, who really hasn't panned out.
No.
A former first-round pick out of Michigan State. But this is a good team overall defensively. When you look at the Bengals, they are 15th in the league, giving up 355 yards a game, 20th against the rush, giving up 108.2, and 17th against the pass, 246.8. In terms of points allowed, they're giving up 24.2, though that's 20th, because in the red zone, they have been dreadful. They've given up a touchdown. Their touchdown rate, 64%, which is 27th in the NFL. Now, the Browns are one of the few teams that are worse. They're 30th in the league, allowing touchdowns when the opponents get inside the red zone. So that's a look at this Bengals defense again. The big guys up front, Dunlap, Atkins, those are the big players. The linebackers are where the Browns are going to have to create mismatches, get those guys in space, and take advantage. That's going to be critical to this offense's success on Sunday. When we come back, hour number 2 of CBD, still to come, Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com will be with us to give their perspective on things at 2:30. We've got tonight's game we'll talk about. We'll talk also about the Browns defense against the Bengals offense. And of course, we've got fantasy football at 2:45. So use your Twitter and ask using the hashtag AskTFC to @NathanZagura, @Browns_daily. And we'll be back with hour number 2 of Cleveland Browns Daily here on this Thursday. Call us up, 216-578-0850.